More and more people are moving to cities, and that's going to affect almost every industry.
We are very cautious and very aware to make a conscious effort to work with the ecosystem.
What can the average person do to take action now? Not one person can change the world, but if we all do a little something different, it might help.
Being open to embracing innovation.
Know that you can make a difference. Absolutely. There's no excuse not to even do a little bit.
Let's go check it out. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Going Green. Awesome guest today. We are talking to Miguel de Anquin, the founder of K12 Energy. Miguel, thanks for being here today.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Thank you.
Good, good. Did I say all that right, Miguel?
Yep, you did pretty good.
Perfect. And so where are you joining us from today?
I am in Northern California, east of Sacramento.
Okay.
Foothills, on the way to Idaho. Yep.
There we go. So we're not too far away. We're here in San Diego. But so let's dive right into it. How did you get K-12 going?
Well, K-12 is our second, my partner and I, we started another solar company in 2003 when very few people knew what a solar panel was. And so we started doing a lot of residential projects, and we did projects in Napa with a lot of the wineries. And then we started to expand. And then we did projects in the East Coast and New Jersey. Then we had an office in Spain. We started doing a lot of projects in Spain, then in Italy, then in Bulgaria and Romania, etc. And then we got out of that company in 2012. And then we sat at the table and said, what do we want to do now? And how can we do a version 2.0 of what we do? And one thing that we decided to do is, while we were going through that many years of going in the solar space, we realized that nonprofits were left out of the equation, because nonprofits don't pay taxes, and the driver for going green with solar are the tax credits. Mm-hmm. So we designed a program that will include them. And that's when we started K-12 and designing and improving that program over time and making it better and better for commercial buildings, specifically nonprofits like schools, universities, et cetera, go solar.
Very cool. So how did you as an individual get into solar in the first place? Like, what's your background? Where are you from? Tell us about that journey of kind of venturing into your first solar business.
Very good. So I'm from Argentina, the bottom of the continent. And I started my first business when I was 15. I got my college degree in computer science. I was a software developer for several years. I had my company, and then decided to come to the States here to get my MBA, Master in Business. So I came and ended up here in Davis, here near Sacramento, the University of California, Davis. And I was working for a software firm in Sacramento. There I met a gentleman which was the head of sales. His name is Dean, is now my partner. And he had been in solar in the 80s. And so he was always talking about solar. And so I had no idea what solar was other than there's a sun up above us. And that kind of gave my education of the benefit of solar. And then a few years later, we went separate ways. And he called me, says, this new low pass in California. Why don't we start a solar company? And that's what we did.
Nice. I mean, that's a pretty long time to be in solar. Now, most people know what solar is. What trends have you seen by working in that industry for, 15, 20 years to, from where you started to where we are today?
Well, mainly is the cost. The cost of solar have changed a lot. In the past, solar was a luxury. It was more for those that really had a green mindset, and they were doing it regardless of cost because they wanted to do it. And they were willing to wait maybe 8-10 years to get a payback on an investment in solar. And a lot of the wineries were going solar because they had that mindset. They know they plant a vine, they have to wait 7-8 years to see a return, so they have that mindset. And most of the sales were cash, cash purchases. And so over time, solar became more affordable. Nowadays, solar is cheaper in most places than just buying fossil fuel electricity. So you don't have to have a green mind right now to go solar. It is just more affordable. And for most businesses in general, they can go solar without coming up with any money. It's just switching. And instead of paying the utility, they're going to be paying a certain portion of my electricity from solar. And so it is much more doable nowadays than it used to be in the past when very few people knew what a solar panel was.
Yeah, that's cool. That gives me a lot of hope, honestly, that more and more companies and organizations will be implementing solar, and individuals as well. But I like how you kind of noticed a problem where, these nonprofits aren't able to, pay for it. Like you said, there's a lot of tax incentives to get solar. What was that process like getting, you know, K-12 set up, and how did you start kind of reaching out to these, you know, these nonprofits to get them interested and involved?
Very good. So the, through our relationship, we talked to one church, and so we met with the board and tried to explore over the challenges. And a lot of nonprofits have, it's not that simple to finance from a traditional financing organizations, because their income comes from donations or memberships, and are not as maybe perhaps predictable for somebody that's outside of that industry. So that was one challenge. The other one is somebody has to take that tax credit and the depreciation to be able to, in a way, pass the savings to them. So that's what we worked on our program, is to make sure that we have a program where the nonprofit would have to, don't need any money to go solar, where we would get somebody to get the tax credits and the benefits. And then, of course, we had the expertise from many years of building these solar projects, make sure they're built right and they generate the right amount of electricity. And I think that program has been very good, because, you know, it helps a group of the industry where we live in, the market that has been neglected, and they do very good things for society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love how, you know, you kind of mentioned solar started out as a luxury thing, expensive, really for only, you know, the people who wanted to invest in it for good. Now we're at a point where, you know, nonprofits can get it. So it's exciting to see that, you know, it's really starting to become mainstream for everybody. And what I think is cool too, is you were able to run your business internationally in different markets, compared to, you know, and that's generally speaking, you know, I've lived in California, I've lived in New York, I've lived in Europe. California is pretty progressive when it comes to clean technology and solar. What were, you know, what was it like going into these other markets on an international level?
Well, it was an interesting experience to start with. Now we started going in Spain was in 2005, I believe, 2006. So it was at the beginning of a few years after the EU commenced, and Spain had a lot of money, and they were putting a lot of money in infrastructure. So they came up with a very interesting program that was very attractive to homeowners, business owners, to anybody, where they would get certain dollars for every kilowatt hour generated. So everybody will put in their own power plants and selling electricity for multiple years, and the government was a government program. So that was great. That was fantastic. There was no tax credits or special tax benefits, which when you have the tax credits, the benefits are driven by taxes. It limits who are the ones that can take advantage of the opportunity, like in the case of nonprofits can't. If you were in Spain, anybody was able to take advantage of that, because it was just for the electricity being produced, it was a certain dollar amount. It's called a feed-in tariff. And that program was started in Germany, was copied in Spain, then Italy did the same thing, and we were also in Italy. We had offices there and doing projects there. So it is very different. You know, culturally, there are different countries, and every country has its own way of doing things. And here in California is different than how we do business in other parts of the states too. So,
right. What, would you say they were more open to kind of the, you know, the green technology, or less open to it, or was it culturally or location based?
Yeah, no, I think in general, the Europeans think more about the environment that we do. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in Europe, you've seen the hotels, when you get to a hotel room, you know, all the lights, air conditioning is off until you put the key on the slot, and then everything, all the electricity on that room, you know, starts to run.
Right.
And here we don't have it in the US. And so it has to do with the mindset. And as you've probably seen by living in Europe, everything is smaller, right? Houses are smaller, apartments are smaller, cars are smaller. And it's just a fact of what it is. It's just a different culture.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I've always wondered why, you know, America doesn't do that card thing with the hotel room. It's so simple and makes so much sense, but that's really cool. Where do you kind of see, you know, solar going in the future?
Well, I would say solar in general, renewables. And you see from the, for example, California has a 100% clean energy goal to get to that level by 2045, and then they have intermediate goals to get to that point. California being very progressive is probably expected, but California is not alone. There's a lot of other states, a lot of other, there were 9 different governors running last year that in their campaigns were promoting 100% clean energy. And so I think as time goes by, there's more and more renewables, especially solar, where solar nowadays can compete at the wholesale rate and utility scale projects, be cheaper than burning fossil fuel at the residential level, of course, at the retail price and the commercial level too. So I think as time goes by, we will see more and more renewables. And adding to the solar will be the energy storage piece, because one of the challenges from a grid standpoint is that solar generates power when the sun is out, right? When there's no sun, there's no power. So you need the energy storage portion to be able to feed electricity when the sun is not out or when the wind is not blowing.
Yeah, I love that answer. And it's crazy because, you know, being hosting the show and running Going Green, I talked to scientists and CEOs of all different clean technology companies. And sometimes I'm super optimistic. I'm like, man, we're going to, you know, this is going good. Then I'll talk to other people and I'll be like, we're screwed. We don't have much time left. But I think, you know, honestly, when you sort of look at big picture, the problems we're facing and the solutions, solar technology is one of the most impactful solutions. So hearing that, you know, it's getting more accessible, it's getting less expensive, the technology is getting better, makes me feel good, because, you know, sometimes when it's just your day to day, you're looking at things from a smaller perspective. But when you zoom out and, you know, talk to someone like you, who's been in the industry for 10, 15 years, like you said, and, you know, it used to be a luxury. Now it's affordable for most people. It's like, okay, cool. Hopefully, you know, now we can spread the word and let everyone know it's affordable. So, you know, everyone should be able to switch over pretty soon. So that does make me feel a little bit better. What's sort of one piece of advice that you would give to, you know, kind of the average person who's listening? And let's say, you know, most people still probably have the stigma that solar might be a little bit too expensive for them. What would you say to those people?
Well, maybe to look again. And I think in some states, like California, it is so obvious to go solar, because it's really cheaper than the utility. There's no workaround. That is as simple as that. There are some other states where they have a lot of rules that are against, because they protect the monopolies, these utilities that have been there entrenched for ages. And then we have some rules that will kind of limit a little bit of what you can and cannot do. But even if you run any facility, if you have a homeowner, you know, look again. I think solar is extremely competitive with fossil fuel electricity. And I think whether you believe in climate change or not, it's just better from an economic standpoint. So I don't see why somebody would not do it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what Going Green is all about, is, you know, regardless of where you stand on, you know, environmentalism, hopefully you care a little bit. Don't be an asshole, yeah. Part of my language. but also, if you can save money, you know, it makes sense. Like, who doesn't, you know, everybody wants to save money. I know it's a more complicated process than this, but what's like the quick, just step, like basic step-by-step process for someone who does actually want to get solar and they might think it's a little scary or a little intimidating. They don't know where to start. What's like, hey, first you call us, then we give you this, then we do this, and then next thing you know, you've got solar. Like I said, I know it's more complicated, but what's the basic process?
Yeah, so we mainly work with commercial projects. We don't deal with a residential utility scale, uh-huh. But what we do is we talk to, say, a church, a school, or whomever it may be, and says, well, let us analyze your electric bill. So what we do is we get the detailed consumption in 15-minute intervals, so we know every 15 minutes how much power was consumed. And that we put that, and then we overlap that with our solar system design. We're going to put a system of this size, and we overlap it over that same intervals. And then we know when solar will, you know, generate more power than is consumed. And then eventually we plug it with the different utility rates that may be available to that customer. And then we come up, well, if we put a solar system of this size, then this is the savings on the electric bill. It could be close to zero, could be 50%, or whatever the number might be. And then, you know, we talk about with the customer, a lot of nonprofits like to have carports, because you have in California, it's a lot of sun, and to have shade is a good benefit. So you want to put carports or put the solar, create shades for the cars, and also generates electricity. So it's in a new space, make it save some money. And because the electric bill for most nonprofits is the third largest expense. First is the mortgage money going out, the second is the salaries, or vice versa, and then is the electric bill. So this is an important piece of money that goes out every month that can be managed. And once we do all that, then we come up with the different financing program that we use, you know, where they would buy electricity, say, well, electricity at this price will save you 20% or whatever the number may end up being. Mm-hmm. It depends on the type of system and where it's located, et cetera. But it's a pretty smooth process. It's pretty simple. From a customer standpoint, they have to do is just give us their access to their consumption data.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, it's definitely, it's I mean, from my experience, I've looked into it. It seems a little daunting at first, but then once you kind of understand the process, it's really not that complicated. How can people reach out to you and just get involved and support the company and the organization?
Well, it's just can go to k12energy.com. That's our website. That probably be the easiest way to get a hold of us. Just one comment on the complexity. Yes, if you want to build your own solar system, it gets complex. But if you are thinking, think a little bit differently. You say, I'm paying the utility 20 cents per kilowatt hour, or I can pay 15 cents per kilowatt hour for my solar electricity. It's as simple as that. Do I want to pay 20 cents or want to pay 15 cents? It's as simple as that.
It's cheaper and it's better for the environment.
Absolutely. And that's the reason I know. I personally believe in that the world needs less fossil fuels. So that's my personal belief, but I don't want to impose my beliefs on.
Oh no, 100%, man. That's what this show is all about. Impose it. Go out there. If you own a house or you have a, you know, a commercial property or a nonprofit, seriously, go make it happen. It's cheaper and it helps the environment in probably one of the best ways. You know, if we can get, you know, as a whole, people moving away from using fossil fuels, it's seriously going to make a big, big difference in this planet. So Miguel, thank you for taking the time out of your day for being here. I really appreciate it. Love the journey that you've been on and love kind of the passion you have for the space. Congrats on the success with the business. Being a clean tech solar entrepreneur is, you know, something to be really proud of. It's the American dream. You're building a business and you're helping people, you're helping the environment. So really super cool to hear what you're working on and want to thank you for taking the time to come here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate
any information.
And to all of you listeners and viewers out there, as always, we appreciate you for tuning in. Go check out k12energy.com if you've got any questions about getting solar on your space. And as always, our goal with the show is to bring you the leading CEOs, scientists, experts in the clean tech sustainable space and just give you some tips to start moving in the right direction when it comes to living a little bit more sustainably. So as always, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode of Going Green.